his body and blood. Mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. A reading from the book Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month they shall take every man a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then a man and his neighbor next to his house shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs in the evening. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat them. They shall eat the flesh that night, roast it, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled with water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall fall upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill and die. But if we judge ourselves truly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened so that we may not be condemned along with the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. First reading tonight is the account of the institution of the Passover meal. And at a Passover supper, in the Jewish tradition, a curious thing happens. After the candles are lit and the room has quieted down, the youngest boy in the room turns to the oldest man in the room and asks, "Why is this night like no other night? Why is this night so special?" And then the oldest man rehearses an account of God's saving deeds in history. So tonight, Jesus gathers with his friends in the upper room to celebrate his Passover. And the question is still the same. Why is this night so special? What three things did Jesus do on this night? Well, first, our Lord washed his disciples' feet, saying nothing. Jesus, as we've just heard, strips off and girds himself with a towel and performs the most distasteful slave duty of cleaning feet. The dirtiest part of one's body in the Middle East. Indeed, our Lord did not have to say anything, for his actions spoke far louder than words ever could. And by his actions, he's taught his followers that strength and growth in the life of his Father's kingdom come not by force, not by power, not even by miracles, but by lowly and loving service to others. Jesus says, "If I have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." And this is the love of which Jesus speaks, a new commandment, a mandatum novum, from which we get the word mandi, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that commandment to love was the first of the things that Jesus did. The second thing that he did on Maundy Thursday was to institute the sacrament of his body and blood, the Holy Eucharist. You see, Jesus knew that tomorrow he was going to be given up into the hands of sinful men and to die. And he also knew that on the third day he would rise from the dead and then 40 days later, return to his Father. And so our Lord Jesus Christ on this night left something behind for those he loved. And he took bread and he took wine, two very ordinary things, and he changed them forever into something else. "This is my body. This is my blood." And you and I can look at the snow-white wafer cradled in priestly hands and know by faith that we are looking on the swaddling clothes of the God made man. We can touch the host and feel that we are reaching out and touching the hem of Christ's garment. We can taste the bread and know that it is not bread, but rather God himself who is our food. And as Jesus tells us, unless ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So that is the second thing that Jesus did. He gave us the gift of his own self, his abiding presence with us in the sacrament of his body and blood until the end of time. Now, what is that oft forgotten third thing that Jesus did on that Maundy Thursday so long ago? After giving the new commandment to love, after instituting the sacrament of his body and blood, Jesus, even though his apostles may not have known it at that time, instituted the priesthood. It was to these first priests, these 12, that Christ specifically commissioned to make present again and again his sacrifice in the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so to priests all down through the ages, Jesus says, "Do this. Take in your hands a lifeless piece of bread and breathe into it the bread of life. Take this. Take in your hands a cup of wine and bathe it in my blood." This is the third thing that Jesus gave us on this night in the upper room. He gave the priesthood to the church for two reasons. The first reason, of course, is to perpetuate the Eucharistic sacrifice so that Jesus' presence in his body and blood can continue until time shall cease. And unworthy as we are, priests all over the world, from the Vatican to deepest, darkest Africa to Asia, will stand tonight at God's altar and will lend their lips to Jesus, who says, "This is my body." And in those very syllables, and in that very moment, calls down to the altar the presence of Jesus in his sacrament. And the second reason that Jesus instituted the priesthood is to provide a model of service to the rest of the church. Every priest is meant to be the servant of the servants of God. Someone once said that the priesthood is the most august fraternity in the world. Not because it's privileged to order everyone else in the church around, but because it is the privilege of the priesthood to be at the bottom of the church and to wash everyone else's feet. So on this night, our Lord gave us the commandment to love, and he taught us about Christian service. On this night, Jesus gave us the Eucharist, his gift of himself, to be our food. On this night, Jesus brought together 12 men and instituted the sacred priesthood so that he could be present with us in the Eucharist until the end of time. And so, in an unbroken line from that upper room to the present, the priesthood has continued. These three things Jesus did for us this night. And that is why tonight is so special. Please stand for the prayers of the people.
I ask for prayers for God's people throughout the world, especially the church in Jerusalem, the least, for James, our bishop, Douglas, the priest of this parish, for this congregation, for all the clergy. Pray for the church. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
I ask for prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and day of raising. And for those children of the parish who are preparing the first Holy Communion at Easter, Joseph, Joshua, Will, Davis, Keith, Eric, Luke, Witt, and Dakota. And for those preparing for confirmation at Pentecost, Caleb, Aiden, Stephen, Will, Jackie, Yusuf, Maggie, Lewis, Sage, and Kelsey. Pray that they may find and be found by them. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
I ask your prayers for the pardon and pray for those who have died. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Praise God for those in every generation whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to honor Christ in our own day. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
God, our Father, whose Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in a wonderful sacrament, has left us a perpetual memory of his passion. Grant us so to venerate the sacred mysteries of his body and blood, that we may ever perceive within ourselves the fruit of his redemption, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, our Savior Christ, from the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood as a sign and pledge of his love. For the continual remembrance of the sacrifice of his death, and for a spiritual sharing in his risen life. For in these holy mysteries we are made one with Christ and Christ with us. We are made one body in him and members one of another. Having in mind, therefore, his great love for us, and in obedience to his command, his church renders to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, never-ending thanks for the creation of the world, for his continual providence over us, for his love for all mankind, and for the redemption of the world by our Savior Christ, who took upon himself our flesh, and humbled himself even to death on the cross, that he might make us the children of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and exalt us to everlasting life. But if we are able to share rightly in the celebration of these holy mysteries, and be nourished by that spiritual food, we must remember the dignity of that holy sacrament. I therefore call upon you to consider how St. Paul exhorts all people to prepare themselves carefully before eating of that bread and drinking of that cup. For as the benefit is great, if with penitent hearts and living faith we receive the holy sacrament, so is the danger great, if we receive it improperly, not recognizing the Lord's body. Judge yourselves, therefore, lest you be judged by the Lord. Examine your lives and conduct by the rule of God's commandments, that you may perceive wherein you have offended, and in what you have left done or undone, whether in thought, word, or deed. And acknowledge your sins before Almighty God with full purpose of amendment of life, being ready to make restitution for all injuries and wrongs done by you to others, and also being ready to forgive those who have offended you, in order that you yourselves may be forgiven. And then, being reconciled with one another, come to the banquet of that most heavenly food. And if, in your preparation, you need help and counsel, then go and open your grief to a discreet and understanding priest and confess your sins, that you may receive the benefit of absolution and spiritual counsel and advice, the removal of scruple and doubt, the assurance of pardon, and the strengthening of your faith. To Christ our Lord, who loved us and washed us in his own blood, and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory in the church evermore. Through him let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise which is our bounden duty and service, and with faith in him, come boldly before the throne of grace, and humbly confess our sins to Almighty God, devoutly in. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through his great mercy have promised forgiveness of sins to all of us, who with pardoned repentance and through the true faith turned to us.
Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Christ, for our sake, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name.
when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of you, and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And the last day, bring us with all your saints into
done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd of swords and clubs, and the chief of priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "One I shall kiss, and the man seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Hail, Master," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why are you here?" And they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.